What does it mean to talk to a tree? Does a tree have a voice? What does the landscape talk about? Are you really engaging in a dialogue with a plant? So I was hanging out in my living room the other day with my roommates, and when I went to plug in my phone to a speaker to put on some music, I heard a noise you might be familiar with. It's that little buzzing sound you hear when the connector on some sort of audio cable, say an auxiliary audio cord or an instrument cable, is plugged into a live speaker and comes into contact with your skin. If you haven't heard it before, go ahead and try it with a pair of speakers right now. Anyway, this sound was something I've heard probably 1,000 times before, so I didn't really think anything of it. But then my roommate said something that got me maybe a little bit too excited.
You know it makes the same noise when it touches a plant, right?
I've been walking around outside trying to talk to trees for a year now, and you've got plants making noise over your speakers? This was a big moment for me. So we set up a little experiment. We gathered some of the plants of various sizes from around the house and set them around our sound system in the living room. I touched the audio cable to the tip of a succulent's gleaming leaf, and as I lightly dragged the cold metal of the connector along the leaf towards the stem, the hum got louder. And when I tried the same thing with larger plants, the hum was even louder still. We tried touching the cable to other items around the room, a table and the couch. Nothing. And then I tried sticking the jack down into the soil, and this was one of those moments where everyone in the room goes, whoa. The noise from the soil was even louder than it was from the plants. So, what the heck was going on here? Clearly there's something similar between myself and the plants and the soil that all produced this mysterious humming noise. Was it some universal life force interacting with the electronics of the speakers? Well, I did some research, and what I found isn't quite so profound, but it is a matter of energy. Our little noise is actually known as a mains hum. It's generated from the AC electromagnetic field produced by our electrical energy systems. As we're cast in this bath of electromagnetic waves, our bodies, plants' bodies, and even the soil acts as a conductor, transmitting a signal when contact is made with the cable. Interestingly, in the US, the noise registers at 60 Hz, whereas in other countries, the sound registers at 50 Hz because of differences in the electrical currents used. See the difference? Well, I didn't exactly find that plants were somehow trying to communicate with us, but our experiment did get me thinking about how plants and the digital can interface. I started foraging around on the web and stumbled upon a documentary from 1979 called The Secret Life of Plants, based on a book written by Peter Tompkins and Christopher Bird in 1973 of the same name. And let me tell you, this movie is a gem. The film showcases several experiments which explore potentials of the use of digital technologies to connect with plants. Plants are hooked up to polygraph tests, MIDI controllers, all kinds of devices, in kind of borderline wacky ways. And that's the kind of stuff I am way into. The movie even has a full soundtrack written and performed by Stevie Wonder. I know, right? This stuff is too good. The documentary first goes into this guy, Baxter, who apparently back in the 70s was
the world's foremost authority on the polygraph.
Baxter decided to try a little experiment of his own one night, hooking up a plant in his office to a polygraph machine. He watered the plant, expecting the polygraph to reflect an increase in conductivity from the water. But
strangely enough, I didn't get this at all. And in fact, it did just the opposite. Instead of instead of tracing, edging upward as it should have on the chart, it went into sort of a wild excitation, very similar to the first part of a human taking a polygraph test.
For some reason, Baxter then gets this idea into his head that he should hold a lit match up against the plant and see how that affects the polygraph. But before he can even go through with the test, in fact,
right at the split second that imagery of fire entered my mind, the tracing reflecting the changes in the plant just went right off the top of the page.
The plant's polygraph starts to go haywire, just in the same way that you might see on an excited or agitated person. Baxter infers that the plant must have read his mind and was alarmed at the threat being imagined. Now that is a pretty interesting hypothesis. Inspired by this experience, Baxter engages a series of experiments, hooking various plants up to polygraphs and trying to see if they're somehow attuned to things like other living things being threatened in their environment. He becomes pretty convinced that the plants are indeed attuned to the emotions and thoughts of people around them. Now, whether or not there's any truth to these conclusions, the experience itself of trying to interact with plants in this way does change him.
Before working with plants, I hadn't really thought much about the idea of greater consciousness or awareness. Now I look around, but what I see has a different meaning.
Though most of the scientific community scoffed at Baxter's work at the time, some others saw this as an exciting new area of research. One included in the documentary, Randy Fonts, a parapsychology researcher in Menlo Park, conducts this experiment where they analyze a plant's reaction to human emotions. Fonts has a plant attached to a polygraph, and in the same room, there's a guy hooked up to a polygraph watching film meant to induce various emotional stimuli. A shot of a naked woman splashing in the water flashes on screen. The plants and the man register a parallel spike in their polygraph reading.
He's doing real well with that image.
Houses disintegrate in nuclear explosions. Another spike in both polygraphs. They're looking to see if there's any correlation between the human's polygraph reading and the plants. And kind of amazingly, there were.
That looks very convincing. I have to think about that one.
This is a colleague in reaction to Fonts' experiment.
Well, let's say that the experiment is quite well done. Then you're claiming that the individual's response is producing some kind of energy display. When you're finished analyzing your data and it supports your contentions, you can imagine what importance this will be. You can imagine the it'll change our whole picture of how we relate to plants, that we're interacting with them all the time.
Polygraphs weren't the only digital technologies people had started using to interact with plants. Secret Life of Plants mentions John Lifton, an artist seeking a tangible expression of plant emotions. He devises something he calls green music. Plants are hooked up to a series of computers which translate the plant's reactions to passers-by and to sound. Lifton isn't the only one doing this, though. I found several examples of people capturing music made by plants. If you want to look into this more yourself, try checking out Singing Plants at Dom and Her, Sounds of the Soil, or Music of Plants on YouTube. The documentary also highlights a Dr. and Mrs. Hashimoto, who are experimenting with plants and language. Hashimoto had designed a machine which translates electrical signals from the plant into modulated sounds. On the premises that plants can perceive and learn, they're attempting to teach a plant Japanese. This is Mrs. Hashimoto going about a little Japanese lesson with the plant. Secret Life of Plants covered some interesting territory. Clearly, there are people out there pursuing new ways of interfacing with plants through the digital. The survey felt somewhat limited, not to mention outdated, but that's okay because
these are the new discoveries we find inside the Secret Life of Plants.
Okay. The ideas presented in the documentary are all very alluring to believe. But when I started to look into the reception in the scientific community, I was a bit discouraged. The general consensus seems to be that plants don't have brains. They have no central nervous system. And therefore, it would be ridiculous to think plants could have anything resembling human feeling or thought, or so they say. Critics lambast the notion as at best a metaphor, but often just a gimmick. Scientists have argued that Baxter's experiments lacked proper controls, and most of the research done to replicate his results has turned up inconclusive. Even the Mythbusters put the theory of plant behavior and thought to test, and determined that the notion was...
The myth as we know it, yes, is busted.
Even if Tomkin and Birds' work can be nothing more than an interesting inquiry and a metaphor, I think there's still value in that. They explore important questions in the relationships and interactions between man and the environment. These types of questions drive exploration and more current research into ways digital technology can augment our understanding of plants. The documentary What Plants Talk About surveys some of this work being done. What Plants Talk About focuses on theories regarding plant behavior.
If you talk to a layperson about plant behaviors, you'll just think you're crazy. If you talk to a scientist, they'll think you're crazy and wrong.
And it turns out...
It seems plants are doing...
Whoa.
Yeah.
And saying quite a bit.
This documentary explains that while, yes, observing plant behavior can be about as engaging as watching grass grow, literally... When observed on a different timescale, the plants appear to spring to life in completely new ways, ways that are uncannily like animal behaviors. Most people are familiar with plants exhibiting animal-like behavior, at least to some degree. The infamous Venus flytrap is renowned for its carnivorous tendencies. But scientists like naturalist James Cahill argue that all plants, in fact, have behaviors. Others just aren't as explicit as the Venus flytrap. Up to 80% of a plant's biomass can dwell underground. Until recently, this world was largely unknown to us, but thanks to new technologies, we're able to see that a plant's roots move in a way reminiscent of a foraging animal.
So when an animal moves through the forest and is foraging for berries, like a grizzly would, it will find a berry patch and it'll slow down and it'll spend more time there, maybe walking, without really going in a far distance. The plants do something roughly similar to that.
Some plants are even completely locomotive, like the dodder vine. The vine cannot produce its own food and so leeches energy from a host plant. And this vine is something that has to be seen to really understand how incredible it is. Shown in high speed, the plant moves snake-like, wrapping around plants and tomatoes and latching onto their stems. The dodder then gorges itself like a vampire, swelling up bulbous and red. And Cahill and his team even demonstrate that the dodder is able to detect and seek out suitable hosts based on chemical signals. Plants release a whole range of chemical signals. They don't only move like animals, they also communicate like them. One chemical signal that you might be familiar with is the smell of freshly cut grass. For me, it stirs up images of summer, of sentimental memories. But this smell is actually, well, the screams of grass. When plants are cut or agitated like this in some way, they release a chemical signal, which we interpret as a pleasant aroma. And through digital technology, we're finally able to observe these chemical communications. Some, like the knapweed and lupin, even release specific signals in the presence of one another, chemicals that directly influence the ability of the other to grow. The plants enter into a network of chemical correspondences with their neighbors. Through the digital, we are just now getting new insight into the world of plants.
It's a really exciting thing to consider in terms of potential ways that plants may interact that really has not been explored.
Plants have been shown to forage for food like animals and enter into dialogues with their surroundings through chemical signals.
Is it communication? Are they deliberately sending a signal? That we don't know. That's something that we can't answer yet.
But evidence is beginning to suggest that there's far more going on in plants than the scientific community has ever recognized before. The network of plants is beginning to become clear.
They're really being nurtured and grown up as a community, as a family almost.
And it's those relationships that really build the forest. It's really a beautiful, self-organizing, complex system.
The technology that allows us to attune ourselves to plants in these ways is still very new, and there's still a wide swath of territory to explore. And as we begin to nudge our way into this new understanding of plants, a complete re-envisioning, a reawakening is unfolding in our relationships with our environments. What plants talk about leaves us with a nice closing sentiment.
Maybe we're not quite as smart as we thought we were, and perhaps plants are a lot more intelligent than we ever imagined.
As I said in my essay, Ecocriticism in the Digital Age, the digital is fundamentally changing the human experience within nature. New avenues of dialogue are opening up through digital technologies, and we're beginning to recognize the complex network that has already existed among plants, unbeknownst to us until now. The nature of today is a vastly more complex and nuanced place than ever before. And again, as I've said, mine is not a new path. I may walk along the same shady groves and mountain trails as the likes of Thoreau, but my experience is cast awash in digital networks, in a new understanding of the environment. Who knows what's around the next corner? Covered in this podcast sounded interesting to you, I highly recommend them. Both Secret Life of Plants and What Plants Talk About are available on YouTube. Once again, all original music in this podcast was produced by yours truly. Thanks to all the voices in the documentaries, Adam, Jamie, and the rest of the Mythbusters crew, and of course, my roommates, Zach, Lonnie, and Kaylee. And a shout out to Stevie, too, whose soundtrack on Secret Life of Plants is pure gold. Thanks for listening.